Good morning, Christ Center. It's Wednesday, October 15th, and we are in week 6 of our Book of Mark devotional series. Today, we're going to be reading Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 45. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 10, verses 32 through 45. They were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them the things that would happen to him. "See, we are going to go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him, and he will rise after 3 days. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked them. And they answered him, "Allow us to sit at your right and at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We're able," they told him. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 disciples heard this, they began to be indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them over and said to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. I'm here with him, obviously, and once again, Paul Allen from Madison, Wisconsin, and from my childhood. The ghost that will not go away.
I'm haunting you.
Paul, once again, we see Jesus predicting his own death, and once again, people not getting it. Why aren't they getting it?
The contrast with who they thought their Messiah would be is so striking to them to hear about the suffering servant as opposed to the conquering hero. And they're just not ready to see suffering as a part of the kingdom of God.
And in this passage, I mean, he's getting so explicit about what this is going to look like. They're going to mock him, the Son of Man, spit on him, flog him, kill him, like all these things. And it just seems to go right over their head. Because the thing that really strikes me is immediately James and John are asking, "Can we sit at your right and your left hand?" It's like, did you guys just hear what I said? It's like it just went straight over their heads at this point. They had this like numbing effect. They cannot understand that he's going to be the suffering Messiah.
Yeah, I think it's easy to have that same attitude ourselves often, actually, with this concept of what do I get for following Jesus, as opposed to what he so often did is it's all about what you can give, not what you can get.
Yeah.
And so here they are talking about what they'll get in the life to come. And it's very similar to what Peter just did after the story of the rich young ruler that we read yesterday, where he's like, "We've given up everything to follow you, and what do we get?" And Jesus says, you know, you'll get many things in this life. And then he ends it with, and suffering as well, and persecutions. And so there's this sense in which Jesus is trying to help them realize it's costly to see the kingdom of God advance on this earth. Are you ready to pay the cost?
Yeah. And clearly they think they are. Joshua, are they?
They're definitely not understanding it in the way that he's presenting it. I think they were being kind of willfully ignorant on this. It does say that this was hidden from everyone until he rose again and then he explained all things. So I'm not sure how that mystery works of like how much they were allowed to know, even though Jesus was consistently teaching that. So I think for this, they're like, well, that's got to be an allegory, mocking and spitting on the king, you know, the King of Kings.
Right.
I wonder.
Right. You know, we have to remember the way that rabbis so often communicated, and we see Jesus talking so often, is in parables and in almost riddles.
I don't think they're quite as obtuse as maybe we feel like we are as we're reading it now after the fact. But he goes right to the heart of the matter, that that indeed they will be drinking the cup that he drinks and baptized with the baptism that he's baptized with. And he's on his way to go to his death. He is truly going to do exactly what he just said. He's going to go suffer and he's going to serve all of mankind. And he tells them, you also are going to suffer with me, and you will be rewarded for that. But let me tell you something about how it works in my kingdom. And this is when the other disciples are hearing this and they're frustrated. Why are you guys always trying to get promoted? You want to be the top of the top. And he doesn't rebuke that part. He says, listen, here's how it works in my kingdom. I want you to be like me, and I do want you to serve, and I do want you to become a slave of all, unto showing the greatness of my love and the greatness of my kingdom. So I like how he is absolutely saying it's okay for you to want to be great in my kingdom, but it's the exact opposite of how you think that's going to go.
Well, and the greatness of God looks different. It's not self-promoting. It's not like self-greatness. It is, by definition, you are serving others and making other people great. And actually, in the Matthew parallel passage, this is an even more cringy story, because their mom is with them. And their mom is the one who actually poses the question. And it's so good. The rest of the disciples they want to pound these guys. And like, I kind of think for good reason, because they were specifically saying, can the two of us have a special place that no one else has? He is speaking against that very much. That's not what you get. You're wanting to be somebody really special. The most special here are the ones who serve everyone else and help them to grow, and who will suffer for others. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think also, like, a slave essentially has no position. And so here he is saying, you know, the greatest is the slave. And the slave doesn't worry about what position they have. They're just there to serve the master.
That's right. Yeah.
And so that's a totally different mindset than, can I sit at your right and your left? It's, I'm no one. Who am I? Yet what you want is all that matters to me. And that's what Jesus did. You know, Philippians 2 says he made himself a slave for our sake. And you see that in the Garden of Gethsemane as well. It's talking about the cup again. You know, he says, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. And so there's this sense in which they needed to get that mindset of, whatever it costs, you're worth it. I'll give, and I want to serve your purposes, and I want to serve the people that you love so much that you gave your life for as a ransom for many.
We talked last Sunday about nobody ever having connected suffering with Messiah. Those two concepts didn't mix. And I think you see a similar thing here with great slave. Like, you are called to be great servants of all. That's a thing that just wouldn't have made sense, because a slave isn't great. And Jesus saying, hey, in my kingdom, this is how this works. You become a servant of all.
Where we go wrong is when we misunderstand what the reward is. And he is still serving, and he is still becoming the slave of all. And we still get to do that. Why? Because we want to be with him, and it's what he's doing. And we want our Father to have his reward, that he gets to be with those people that we get to interact with. So there is that great joy of, this is worth suffering for, because these people are worth God's love, and I get to be a part of that.
I don't get to be a celebrity. That's not what Jesus is offering here. I get to be a part of this kingdom, a part of this family.
Yeah, and it just makes me think of times in my life where I've deeply encountered God has been when I'm with someone who is just lowly, who nobody else would look on or be with. And yet, yesterday I talked about being with street kids in India. I just remember having a worship time with some street kids, and it was just like the presence of God was so strong in the room. And there is that sense in which when we are with him where he is, and he is the slave of all, and we become the slave of all, we encounter his heart in ways that we wouldn't otherwise, because we're just being with him. It's not about us, it's just being with him.
Yeah, right on, right on. Paul, would you pray us out?
Sure. So Jesus, we thank you for these things that you taught when you were here. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would apply them to each one of our lives. Would you help us to see the people around us and those that you have called us to serve, even as you came to serve? Would you give us the grace to walk through the things that we're walking through and the suffering that maybe we're going through in our own lives? And would you just pour out your grace and your presence to us in each moment? And we love you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.